I've been teaching kids for about 40 years. So I know that's kind of hard to understand, but miracles happen. When you're in ministry, just miracles happen all the time. Yeah, my husband and I had our 45th wedding anniversary Saturday. You are clapping for him. Okay, and it's the truth, all right? And he's my best friend, and we are so much in love, and it's so much better now than it was. Oh, my goodness. Okay, but about 15 years ago, after being in ministry for so many years, and my heart for kids, and my heart has never changed. My passion is to see kids fall in love with Jesus Christ. That has been my passion since the day that I realized that I was being called into ministry. And married a guy who loved the Lord but was like me. We just loved the Lord and worked really hard in ministry. And we had not fallen in love with God ourselves. So you're going to come back to my next session and you're going to hear that story. Because I've decided to switch it up and I want to talk about temperaments and personalities right now to set you up for your day. All right? How many in here have taken a temperament test? Raise your hand. Okay, not as many as I thought. This is going to be so good. Okay, I have to tell you, all the tests on the temperaments, and they're giving them now in big companies and corporations, making it easier to know and understand each other, the people you work with on a daily basis, how companies work. My daughter was just interviewed at a big church in Atlanta, and she walked into the office of the senior pastor, and there was a cube on his desk that had two colors on it. And then she walked into the associate pastor's, and there was a cube on his desk with two colors on it. And she said, "By any chance, are those your temperaments?" And they said, "Yes." And she goes, "Oh my goodness, my mom teaches on that." And so she knew all about it. And it's fascinating. When you understand who you are, how God made you, and this is a predisposition, all God's doing. So I want you right now to say out loud, "Thank you for making me just like this." Okay, I'm not at all convinced. I'm going to teach you in colors today. Take notes fast. I talk fast. I'm going to talk to you about red and yellow. Is the next one green or blue?
Blue.
Blue and green. I know it's changing colors. And this one is so pathetic. Oh my goodness, it's like, yeah. So I do this two different ways, but I have to tell you, God is the most clever creator, brilliant, in the world. Because he's not of this world. Everybody in this room, your personality, your temperament, is a combination of two temperaments. There are four in all, and we're going to talk about them in red, yellow, blue, and green, but you are a combination of two. Usually, I'm talking to adults first, usually as an adult, you are one temperament at home when you are parenting and doing things at home. You are the other temperament when you are out. You're still a combination of the two, and it will affect how you live, but it is something fascinating. It is across the board. If your tests that you took were Briggs-Myers or the animals, or there's a lot of temperament tests out there, they're all exactly teaching the same premise. And I take it a step further, which changes how I work with children, has revolutionized how I work with children. And I'm going to finish with teaching you how to lead each one of these kids with the different temperaments to Jesus.
So if I find my glasses.
Okay, here we go. Oh, I love this. God invented temperaments. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life were all prepared before I'd even lived one day. I use the Message a lot. I do not teach kids scripture from the Message. The Message is just a interpretation, and it makes stories come alive when I read Bible stories or something. So because I work with kids, I use that a lot. It helps me. I have a mind of a child. And but that is from the Message. So I'm going to talk to you really quickly. All right, let me fill this in. Temperament is like a birthmark on your soul. This is God's idea. I grew up wishing I was like my sister. I don't know if any of you have ever done that. The fact that she's tall, blonde, and thin had nothing to do with it. But she was the nicest. She was just, everybody loved her. She never got in trouble, you know? And I used to think, why did God make us differently? Had to be married with kids before it dawned on me that he did this on purpose. He knew my temperament would be able to reach kids that other temperaments would not. And other temperaments will be able to reach kids that my temperament will not. And it's fascinating to me. Once I got into this temperament thing, it was so much easier to be married. And now to understand that my husband intentionally lived with me all these years, that he fell in love with this, you know? It's just fascinating. Okay. I told you everyone has a primary color and a secondary one. Even babies have discernible temperaments. But temperaments have both positive and negatives. And that's what I want you to find out today. I want to talk about a rat real quickly. Do you have to turn the page? Okay. I need the mic.
No, you're fine.
Oh, reds want things, their way, and because everybody needs to do things right. Reds are right. You know anybody like that? Yeah, I know. I already heard somebody giggling. We can't help it, okay? The reason I changed my tie gives you an idea of what I might be. Yellows want everything to be fun because everyone deserves and needs fun. And that is spelled F-U-N for some of you blues. Blues are the planners. They want it to be meaningful because everyone needs to be appreciated. And greens want peace because everyone needs to get along. All right, I'm going to walk you through. Tell me I'm loud enough.
Yes.
Okay, reds are the leaders. Yellows and reds are the two loudest, strongest temperaments that are more visible. I say that because blues and greens are also strong. They're not as loud about it. The reds are the leaders of the country, the CEOs of business, the president of the United States.
most of our presidents have been red. Reds are bank presidents. They are people to get things done. If you want something done, you want someone to lead a group at your church, yeah, get a red. They will get things done. But I talked to you about a predisposition. This is how they're born. This is how God made them. And a red has a weakness, and it is anger. Without God in the equation, a perfect example of a red would be Adolf Hitler. Now do you know I mean business when I say this is serious? Reds are the abusers. Reds are the bullies on the playground. That is the potential of a red without God. Okay, now put God in the equation. Turn your red temperament over to God, and you have Billy Graham. What a shocking difference. And Billy Graham operated in his red temperament for his entire ministry. Look what God can do with your temperament. Yellows, they are the fun people. Okay, they are really fun. Okay, they dress fun. They have earring collections. They are oftentimes inappropriate because they speak before they think. They are outgoing. They are charismatic. They are people. If you want somebody at a party, if you're throwing a party and you want to have some fun, invite a yellow. Because you can have as many people as you want there, and they're going to be standing around smiling until you bring a yellow into the room, and usually it livens the place up. A yellow also has a negative side, and it is moral. Moral. The moral compass. A yellow has no moral compass. And I'm talking about yellows with God have to constantly work on their moral compass. I lied so easily when I was a kid that it never dawned on me that it was inappropriate or wrong or a sin. It just came out, because if my brother told the story, it was boring, so I told it. You know, I just felt enhancing on the story made it far more interesting, because that is a yellow's tendency. This is what we do. But there's a moral compass there, and God said, you give your temperament to me so I can fix that and let you be the yellow you were intended to be with my heart. And a yellow without God, they are also leaders. Did I mention that? And I'm not saying this person does not believe in God. I'm saying this person did not turn their temperament over to him. Bill Clinton is a charismatic, yellow, outgoing, powerful, very well-liked and respected yellow who did not turn his temperament over to God, because it's a moral weakness that yellows have. They have a couple other weaknesses too. I mentioned that the child abusers, the wife abusers, the bullies were the reds. The yellows are people, and the negative is in children. They're the number one child in America that are kidnapped. A parent can tell a yellow 25 times, don't talk to strangers, don't talk to strangers. And a man can walk up and say, I lost my puppy, here's his picture, can you come help me? And they're gone. Oprah did a study a few years ago. I didn't see it, I heard about it. That she brought a bunch of children into the room with their parents. They taught the kids, do not talk to strangers, do not talk to anybody, don't go with anybody that is not, you don't know. And then they took those same kids out into a park with television cameras, and they had people walk up and ask the kids to go with them. And the little yellow just took off. The other kids did not. And that is that's a predisposition. That's something that you work extra hard at when you're around little yellow children. Now, a yellow child who has given their heart and life to Jesus Christ, have you ever heard of Rick Warren? Okay, he is so yellow, you guys. He is crazy. His grandchildren were in one of my theater workshops, and he came to see in the audience, and he laughed louder than anybody else, and he met everybody in the room, and he just had the best time of anybody. And you can tell when a yellow is usually around. That is yellow.
Okay, let's go to the blues.
That's such an appropriate color. Blue is also a melancholy, and that's another word for blue. Blues are supposed to be the most intelligent people in the world. Yeah, I know. I have tried to take that test 5 times. I cannot get a blue. I do not have one blue mark on that test. So, just to prove that God can do things with you even when you're not the most intelligent person in the world. But blues are the thinkers, the planners, the deep people. 99% of people who attend conferences are blues. They are the learners. They are the best teachers. They are amazing friends. You want to talk about loyalty? You have blessed enough to have a blue person for a friend. You are blessed. The blue husbands are the most loyal husbands, even those who are not believers. Is that amazing? A blue without God, because they are such deep people. They are deep, they are intelligent, they are usually artistic. Have you ever heard of Kurt Cobain?
Yes.
Okay, my son thinks that guy was the most talented musician alive. And it was really eye-opening the way Kurt's life ended for my son, who was a Christian. But he saw the depths you can get to when you don't have God in your life. And a blue person can get to that depth. People magazine had an article last summer that said that the title was 8-year-old suicide. Our little blues. There are more suicides with blues in this country than anybody else. And it's children. The fifth cause of death in children, fifth cause, is suicide between the ages of 5 and 15. Yeah, do we need to get Jesus out there? Okay, now blues that have given their hearts and life to Christ. I was given these names.
Let me see if you know any of them. My kids told me I need to up my thing. Lincoln Brewster, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Chris Tomlin. Okay, there are people out there that are blues that have made incredible advancements for the kingdom because giving God their temperament, they can overcome any kind of moods and depression that happen. Okay, greens. Greens are the nicest people in the world. Now, seriously, if you have ever met someone and you got home and you said, that is the nicest person in the world, they're green. No one's ever said that about me. You know, I'm serious. They say, oh, Kathleen, she's a good speaker, she's funny, she's good with kids, she's fun to have around. No one's ever walked away and said, oh, she's the nicest person. I just have never heard that. So some of you can say that today. Okay, so greens are peace lovers. They love everybody to get along. They don't need a lot of noise. They really don't. They're fine. My mom was a green, and when she was getting up in years, I would think she was in her apartment and she would be there with her Bible study, and I would think, okay, she hasn't seen anybody for 3 days.
you know, except me. And I was just so worried about it. My sister kept saying, Kathleen, she's a green. She doesn't need to have people coming in her house all the time. She doesn't need to have parties. She doesn't need to be doing all this. They are really happy reading a book by themselves, quietly. I know, this is the screen, not going to be down here. Okay, they are not highly motivated. But another statistic, you love my reading Newsweek, don't you? The statistic is that of the four temperaments, greens are actually born with less energy. I know. Does that explain everything? When I was growing up, my mom was a career woman before her time, and she would come home at night and she was done. She was done. She did not do chores at night. She did do dinner, but she didn't clean up. She did not do chores at night. She did not do laundry at night. She did not have business meetings with her kids. She did not help us with homework. She did not do anything at night. She was done. And as a kid, I never understood that. I considered her kind of distant. And that hurt me. I mean, as a child growing up, I thought, you know, she doesn't like me. I was in a lot of trouble most of the time, so there was I could see that side of it, you know. But my mom was the mom and the parent in the morning. My dad was the parent at night. He helped us with homework. He did laundry. He got us, you know, clothes out for the next day and stuff like that. She had less energy, and I never understood it. And it makes so much sense now. Greens are the best employees in companies. If you want a good employee, hire a green. They are steady, they are consistent, they're conscientious, and if they're sick, they don't stay home. I mean, that's the kind of employee they are. Okay, the negative of greens. Okay, the positives. Oh, James Dobson. Anybody know him? Okay, hello. This guy, when he was interviewed, and he said, I did not want to be famous. I did not want to be known internationally. I did not want all that. I just wanted to serve God. And he goes, when I started to focus on the family, I didn't want my name involved with it because I didn't want any attention on me. I cannot relate, but he said he did not want any attention on him. He is such a group. He is happy to sit and study God's word. He really is, but God called him to this high ministry, and he followed, gave his temperament to the Lord, and look what he's accomplished. Mother Teresa was great. They don't want any accolades. They don't want any of the glory. They don't want any of the attention. They are sold out to just doing what God calls them to do. The negative of the green is because of their low energy and because they are not self-motivated without God, they are the homeless. Is that interesting? The ones that get to a place where they just can't climb back out. 99% of them are green. You see the difference that God makes in a temperament? Is this fascinating stuff? Okay, let me go through it. For example, you can write this on the side. I'm going to throw out a couple of things. The next page is reds. They're the producer, I call them. The teachers. I'm going to talk to you first as adults. So I'm talking about you sitting here in these chairs. And you have to know who you are before you are a good communicator with kids. Trust me, this will change what you do. You're strong leaders. You have strong convictions. You're focused. You have consistency with rules. Usually, if you're a parent, you have well-behaved kids. If you're a teacher, you have well-behaved classes.
because that's the way it should be. And because you're right, that's the way it is. Reds see in one color, you guys, theirs. Whereas yellows see a kaleidoscope of colors. Blues see in black and white. And greens can't make up their mind. They are indecisive when it comes to colors or anything. Okay, so the positives, I just told you about the reds. The quirks, they have to always be right. They are critical, and they tend to be loud, and they tend to fly off the handle, have a short fuse. Now, I'm talking about adults. Reds don't need anybody else. Now, when I said that, my husband said to me, "That's not a negative." He's a blue red. He doesn't think that's a negative at all. And I'm a yellow red, but I'm mainly yellow. And I thought, who doesn't need anybody? Everybody needs somebody. No. He would have spent 45 years sitting on the couch with me and been happy. Seriously. Who does that? Okay, let's go. Yellows. Yellows are promoters. They are fun. As a parent, they have a happy house. They are fun teachers. They make the classroom fun. They do something in the classroom that is fun. If you are a blue teacher, a serious blue teacher, see me afterwards. I will help you. They are tender. Yellows are your tenderest teachers, and that's such a good trait. A child will run up and tell you something, and you can cry with them. You can laugh with them. You can feel for them. They are tender, but the catchphrase for a yellow is in the moment. In the moment. If you have a child, and I'll get to that later, but the drama involved with yellow children, oh, my word, you think they're going to die. Okay? And you blue teachers, take this seriously. Well, if they're yellow kids, trust me, it's over in a moment. Okay? But that is a yellow. They're not really organized as quirks go. They're not real scheduled. They're not necessarily tidy. And they don't necessarily have plans. I have plans. I have lists, but I just can't find them. That's the problem. They're known for not being necessarily punctual. Now, this is a predisposition. God takes over, you guys. The quirks smooth out. They really, really smooth out. I am never late. Because I'm in ministry and because I am a testimony, I am never late. It reflects on God. And I don't go into church late. I know Pastor John didn't tell me to say this, but that's very hard for a pastor to start preaching and have people wandering in. All times, day, all in and out, in and out. I'll tell you that the yellows and the greens doing it, okay? Just want you to know. Now you know what you're dealing with. Okay. Okay. The blues are organized. They have plans. They have schedules. They are learners. They are moral people. They are honest to a fault, if that's possible. My little blue, when he was 3 years old, would sit next to me in the front seat of the car because in those days it was allowed. We didn't have seat belts. We did this. And he would actually say out loud to me, "Mommy, are you going too fast?" And I would look at him and say, "Dear, you may sit in the back seat." 3 years old. He's watching the speedometer. Okay. That is a blue. The negatives and the quirks of the blues, they depress easily. They are moody. They're harder on themselves than anybody else. They're perfectionists. Nothing is quite right. And Satan will use this. He loves this. Loves that you don't think your lesson was quite good enough. Loves that you don't think you had quite enough time to prepare. Loves that he doesn't think you did a good job. That you're not reaching the kids. Loves that. You have to give your temperament over to God and you'll get the victory that you need. They are the martyrs, the blues are. And even Christians, watch yourself. People ask you to do things and you, oh yes, oh yes, okay. Oh yes, oh yes, I'll do it. I'll do it, yes, I'll do it. Oh yeah, no, that is not what God expects, and he expects you to be a good steward of your time and your energy and to use common sense. But blues take on a lot more than they should, just because that's in their temperament. Okay, greens, nicest people in the world. Nicest people in the world. They're wonderful teachers. They are nice, they're patient, they're understanding, they listen, they are committed. If they say they're gonna be there, they're there. What a delight to work with greens. And they're so nice. Now, their quirks. You really can't tell. Seriously, my sister married a green 38 years ago, and I don't think the man has any faults. I mean to tell you, he's never raised his voice. 38 years, he's never raised his voice? Okay, I can't even. Of course, I'm a yellow-red, so I'm just by nature. I'm loud when I wake up. But, yeah, they are the nicest teachers and the nicest adults. But their negative is that they have a strong will. Now, you won't ever see it because they're so nice about it. And it's the truth. It's the truth. If a green decides they're going to do something, they do it. And they do it without making a sound. They do it without anybody knowing that they have just accomplished what they set out to do. And this is what my sister helps me with, the greens. But she says it's just remarkable that if he decides something's going to happen in their home, it happens. Nobody argues. Nobody stops it. It happens. And that is a green. They have trouble following through. And mainly it's because it's okay. It doesn't matter. Everything's fine. Whatever. I said the least clean houses are the greens and the yellows. We don't care. We care, but we just, you know, if there's something else more fun to do, we would rather do that. Don't give me a choice of cleaning my house or going to a party. You know, it's just not, the choice is not, there's no choice there. Or going to the park, or watching a Hallmark movie. Okay. I can try to do the bathrooms while the Hallmark movie's on, but okay. All right. All right, there's kind of a word that each one of them says too. The reds, get over it. That's a red attitude, get over it. A yellow is, okay, close enough. It's okay, close enough. A blue is, I'm sorry, or I'm kidding. Blues will say something trying to be funny, and they will realize they're not. And then they will say, oh, I'm kidding, I'm just kidding, I'm just kidding. Because they don't want to hurt anybody. They really don't want to hurt anybody, ever. And a green, whatever. Whatever. Okay, let's talk about the kids. I've got to make time fast. Okay, here we go. Your little reds. Oh my goodness, I have so many stories, but remember, your little reds without Jesus are going to be the bullies. They are the bullies. They are the ones that are going to hurt kids. They are angry children, and they have a short fuse. And it isn't necessarily because they have an angry father, but if they are a red child, they have that too. This is what they do. They are good leaders, though. Give them something to lead in. My red son, I gave him my pantry when he was 5 years old because he wanted to be the president of the house. And reds will run the household. They will run the household. I'm telling you right now, you have to learn to be a parent. But our red son needed something. He was a natural born leader. And he's a pastor today. And I gave him the pantry because he ran the pantry, and he rearranged the whole thing. He told me what I needed at the grocery store. There were days when he would not let me in the pantry. And then we had conversations on those days. But he was a natural born leader. He needed something that he could excel in. So find something for your little reds. They're driven. They get things done. They're high achievers. Little yellows. They're fun. They're friendly. You love having them in your class. They are teachers' pets. Oh, did I do the quirks for the reds? They're bossy. They're loud. Yeah, I did it. They have to be right. The positives for the yellows are fun and friendly. They're teachers' pets, and their negatives, they're talkers. They don't listen. Out of sight, out of mind. You can teach them for 1 hour. They can walk out and not even know they were there. And it is discouraging, but it will get through. It does get through. I'm here just as proof. Yeah. Little blues. They obey the teachers. They're honest. They're loyal. They follow rules. Keep your eyes on them. They're moody. They can be sullen. They can correct adults nicely. The reds correct adults all the time, not nicely. But the little blues are so precious, and their hearts are so tender. And they have to be won to Jesus at a young age. Okay, the little greens, they're quiet. They're good students. They obey the teachers. They're good listeners. However, they don't like change. They do have a strong, silent will about them. Little greens make lists. Anybody here make lists? I told you I make them too and just can't find them. My daughter is a green. She started a list as soon as she learned how to print. It was by her bed every day of her life, and still is. She's a mom of three little girls. It's still by her bed. The first thing says, get up. And do you know why she does that? Who said it? So she can check it off. Oh my goodness. Okay, and you know what she does at night? She'll take her list and she'll add in anything extra she did that day so she can check it off. Is that fascinating? Okay, and you guys that are laughing because you know a green. And it's just hilarious to me. This is a natural, God-given predisposition that you are born with. Okay, let's turn the page. Just fill it in, and I'll try to stick to my. I'll try to stick real close. If you are a teacher, to understand every child, a red teacher needs to work on being fun for a yellow child. I'm skipping the first one for a reason. A red teacher or parent needs to learn to be how to be fun for a little yellow child. Can I tell you it only takes 3 minutes? Yellows are not deep people. We are shallow. That's my spiritual gift. Shallow. But seriously, as a child, a little bit of fun took me through the whole day. The whole day. One time my dad actually came and woke me up in the morning on a day he wasn't working, and he had a silly hat on. And I asked him why he had the hat on, and he said, "Because I want to." I laughed all day. I laughed through breakfast. I laughed all day at school. I told everybody at school my dad had done. I laughed. I still laugh about it. It takes so little to be fun for a little yellow, to add a little fun in their life. Okay, if you're a red, be patient for little greens. They will never perform to your standard. Never. Reds accomplish much and get things done. Little greens are slower, lower energy. Don't forget that. Red, teacher, be interested for a little blue. Make eye contact. If a little blue wants to talk to you, now that you know the dangerous potential of a blue child, that they actually are capable of committing suicide. Eye contact is so very important for blue children. Okay, if you're a yellow teacher, you are so much fun. Okay, all right. Excuse me. Work on being strong for a red child. The red child wants to take over your class. They do, and they will, if you are not strong. They will take over your home if you are not strong. So a yellow adult has to be strong and be the parent and be the teacher for the red child. Skip down. Is the next one blue? Green. What is that about? It's green. Okay. The yellow has to be patient for the little greens. Yellows flit from thing to thing to thing to thing. We like to keep people guessing. You know, if things seem dull in our class, it's like, okay, let's do this. Okay, yeah, no. When you have a little green, you have to be patient. And yellows need to be understanding for little blues. I told you that yellows have a tender heart, but they are not sensitive. Huge difference. Huge. Tender is in the moment. Tender means that you can, in the moment, identify with anybody that you need to. But a yellow, out of sight, out of mind. A blue is sensitive, and that is lasting forever. My husband tells me things that happened to him as a child that I cannot believe he still remembers. I can't. I'm going, you were not, you had a good home, didn't you? He was hurt. He was wounded. There were things that happened to him as a child he will never forget. That's a little blue. So when you're a yellow teacher, as much fun as you are, act interested in your little blues. Okay, if you're a green parent or teacher, work on being in charge. You have to be in charge of the class. You have precious, precious small amount of time to reach a child for Jesus. Take it seriously and learn to be in charge. A green teacher, learn to be energetic and fun for the little yellow ones in your class. Even a few minutes. It will hook that child. They will love you forever. They will never forget it. I can tell you right now that the teachers that were fun with me, that even cared enough to enjoy me. If you're a green teacher, be interested for your blue child as well. Now are we at blue? Okay, blues. You also have to be in charge. for the red child. You have to be the teacher and the parent. You have to be. Don't say, well, I don't know, I try, but they're just too strong. Yeah, see me afterwards. When you take it seriously and you know that if you let that child run this class, they will accomplish nothing and they will hinder so many other kids from hearing the truth of Jesus Christ. Blues, you have to be fun for yellow child. Oh, I have so much to say about that. Just try to be fun. Blues, you take life really seriously. Really seriously. Lighten up. Be patient for the little green children. Skip down to the bottom. The most difficult communication is between alike temperaments. Alike temperaments. Did you hear me? As a yellow teacher, I do not want everybody in my class to be the funny one. I have the most trouble with my little yellows. It's the truth. As a red teacher, I am the teacher. I'm in charge. And all the little reds who think they're going to be in charge, we butt heads because I'm in charge. Nobody is in charge but me. The blue teachers, you want everybody to be okay. You want everybody, you want to care about everybody. And you are organized and you have plans and you have gone through so much to teach this class. And the little blue child that comes up and tells you you did something wrong, that was not the plan, that you missed this line and you did this wrong and you did this wrong, that is really, really hard. They will call you on anything that you didn't do that you said you were going to do. And the green teachers. My son's mother-in-law is perfect. She's first grade green teacher for 30 years. She says it does take so much energy to be a school teacher and to make plans and to do everything all day, every day for these kids. She said, my hardest kids are the green kids who never say anything. They never say thank you. They never say I learned something. They never come up and hug her. They don't give her anything. And she says, if she changes the way the class is situated, they're the first to complain. But the green in her is fighting the green in them. It's just a hard communication. If a child doesn't like where they're sitting in my class, I say, get over it. That would not bother me at all, you know? Okay, let me tell you to close, introducing each one of these kids to Jesus Christ.
Little reds don't need Jesus. Little reds don't need God. That's not on your paper. This is free. This is the most important thing you'll hear from me this morning. It's a scary thought that a little red can grow up and become an adult without caring about Jesus, because there's a chance they will never accept Christ as a red adult. They are self-made people. They are strong. They know everything they need to know. They are confident. They are secure. And that's how they came out of the womb. A little red to have to humble themselves and say, I have sinned. I am sorry. Forgive me. Take over my life. When you meet a little red kid, you'll know how to approach them. You'll know how to tell them about all the strong reds in the Bible that gave their lives to Christ. And because of it, they conquered wars and did all kinds of amazing things. But they had to give their temperament and their life over to Jesus Christ. I was a little yellow, and I accepted Jesus when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Okay, now, you get it? Yes. We are people pleasers. Our teacher wants us to accept Jesus. Oh, Okay. Plus, they gave prizes. So, you know, they gave a bookmark or a little bracelet or something if I accepted Jesus, you know. Yeah, then praise God for adopting mother. When I was about 8, sat me down and said, this is not funny. This is not a joke. You will do this once and mean it. God takes this so seriously. And these yellow kids need to know that they do not walk out of there and they're lost. If they have given their life to Jesus Christ and they meant it with all of their heart, mind, strength, and soul, they are his child. And they don't have to raise their hand every year if vacation Bible school. And they do raise their hand every year at vacation Bible school. The little blues, I want to tell you something. I'm going to cry. When a little blue meets Jesus and they fall into his arms, they become a missionary in Lima, Peru. Our blue son. He was the last one to accept Jesus because he had so many questions. Had so many questions because he was going to make a decision and do it so seriously. And when he fell in love, there was no turning back. They need to know there is somebody who loves them more than anything in the world because they are so hard on themselves. They beat themselves up all the time. Little blues are harder on themselves. They don't think God wants them, but they did something bad yesterday. They are the tenderest, most sensitive children. But once they belong to God, he is powerful in what he does with them. The little greens. They don't really need Jesus either. Great story. You have to hear this. 72-year-old usher, a gentleman at a church where my son attended. He had been an usher in the church for 50 years. Never missed a Sunday. Loved God. He thought. He'd never done anything wrong, been married to one woman his whole life, faithful. He'd been a great employee. He was one of these upstanding citizens that you love to have in your church. 72 years old. One night, an evangelist came to their church, and he happened to be listening, and he thought to himself, I've never done that. He never thought he was bad. He always loved God from the time he was a tiny child. Saying, Jesus loves me, first song. He said, you mean I actually personally have to actually ask forgiveness for my sins and give Christ my life and everything about me, even though I love God? Yeah, we do. Oh my goodness, his world turned upside down. He's still alive. He's in his 90s. He is the evangelist in the city. He is hilarious, and he's a Greek. Because for so many years, it takes too much energy. And a little Greek child will sit in your class every week and go home. Sit in your class every week and go home. Unless somebody walks up to him and says, did you know you need to ask Jesus in your heart? You do? Because you were born without Jesus in your heart. And whether you think you're a good child or not, or whether your mother says you're perfect or not, you have to have Jesus in your heart. That's the only way all of our sins will be forgiven and we can go to heaven. Isn't this fascinating, this whole cover thing?
It has cut my ministry in half time-wise, working with kids. It has changed teachers' lives. It's changed marriages. It is phenomenally used of God. And I am so glad that we had this chance to talk this morning.